Thought for today, trim the edges. Trim the edges. This is Dr. Harel Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, talking to you on the thought for today of trimming the edges. I was sitting here listening to a very fascinating talk by Dr. Ellen Jeremini, who is a monk, telling us all about a nurse's visit in the hospital and how a little puppy dog helped to solve the dilemma of the patient who was going downhill because she missed her puppy so much. We have plants in every house, everywhere, everywhere in the world. And the plants would survive perfectly well without one touch of a human hand. The plants would get along just wonderful without one touch of a human hand. The plants grow in the desert, the plants grow in the mountains, the plants grow in profusion everywhere, and man has not put his hand upon most of them, fortunately. And the plants, when a leaf is ready to drop off, it just drops off, or just hangs there. Some palm trees we see with the palm branches hanging down, which had ceased to be useful, and they just cover the lower part of the palm tree. Now in nature, the lower part of the palm tree is a home. It's a home for many creatures, because the palm branches hang there and give shade, and give stability, and give privacy, and give all the things that a creature might want to keep it secure from intruders who might want to come and have another dinner. Well, we, in our civilized way of looking at things, we look at a palm tree and see the dirty old dumb branches hanging down the side of it that looks terrible. And we certainly don't want to walk beneath it. One might fall off. And they do fall off. And that's okay. And nature doesn't hurt a thing. It just falls to the ground and becomes part of the soil. But because man is so careful and is so interested in keeping everything looking beautiful in his eyes, he decides to redesign nature. Well, a lot of times, nature has a way of talking to itself. And when plants have too much water, the leaves are soggy and not pleasant. When the plants have too little water, the leaves are sparse. When the plants have just the right amount of water, the leaves are glorious and rich and green and filled with chlorophyll and moisture and every other good thing. Well, in our homes, we choose to have plants. A totally inhospitable climate for a plant. A plant wants to grow in its own nature, in its own natural setting, out of doors, wherever it is. It's designed to do that. You say, well, this is a house plant. It should be kept warm. It is not a house plant. It is a plant that is imported from somewhere where the temperature is similar to what it might be in a house, except it's drier or wetter or whatever. Well, it's our tendency as we look at the plants to trim the edges of the leaves and keep them lovely and nice, and that's great. What we are doing is we are mutating the plant. We are mutating the plant from its normal way of protecting and guiding and taking care of itself to us taking care of it. And the plant doesn't mind. It says, hey, that's okay. Just don't be so rough when you pull off my leaves. Don't be so terribly rough. And it says, you can clip the edges where the leaf is ceasing to be a growing edge, and that's fine. And little by little, it puts out leaves that don't need to be trimmed off, because it says that's what they like. They like leaves that don't need to be trimmed. So the end of the leaves are no longer going to be brown and ready to be cut off, but they're going to be green and luxuriant. Many of our plants are like that. I go over some of our special little plants there, which have a lot of beautiful green leaves on it, and two or three times a year the leaves all turn yellow and you know, like they die. And so I trim them all off, And in the week, they are grown back again, all fresh and new, and the old leaves that are all dried are no longer there. What are we doing to our plants? We are training our plants to need to be in the house. If we take a plant that is used to being in the house and put it out on a freezing night, it'll freeze to death. You know? Whereas if the plant were raised out of doors, it would do just fine. It would put on its winter sleep dress and go to sleep and be perfectly comfortable. But no, we have to mutate them to fit our particular needs. So we have to say, it doesn't want too much sun, it doesn't want this, it doesn't want that, it wants this, it wants the other. We make all these little rules for it by our gardeners and our greenhouses and our cloners and hybrid. You know what hybrid is? Hybrid is to take one plant and another plant and breed them together where they might not naturally have done that, to come up with a better corn of cob of corn, to come up with a better fruit or a better plant, better yield of corn. So these things are done. Is this the life that we really want to live? And hey, it's okay. It's okay. But if we were living out in the wilderness and out in the woods and the forests and so forth, we would have to take the plants pretty much as they are. Now, the first Indians did hibernation. They didn't put the plants to sleep. They may have done that too. But they taught the plants to grow efficiently and differently. They planted the seeds in rows and they took the weeds away so the plants would have a chance to mature completely. Whereas the plants were not used to that, so many of the early plants died because they didn't have the inner strength to compete without the weeds that were sort of protecting them, even though the weeds were sapping them. You see, these things are all part of the big scheme of things. Now, what is it that is in your scheme of things? What is it that's in your world? We have taught ourselves that cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, that is incorrect. Dirtiness is next to godliness. The dirtier you are, the closer you are to your divine self. Whatever is natural on your skin should be there. Now, if you're running through the forest and you get all muddy and you jump into the pond, the mud just comes off, but much of the dirtiness, if you will call it that, remains there. And your skin builds up an immunity to anything, and so you can do all sorts of things and be untouched by it. But because we use so much soap and water, and we wash away our immune-developing autoimmune systems that's on our skin, and we're subject to a lot of strange and wonderful things. Now, we do the same thing on the inside, where normally we would chew our food and eat our beans and chew our corn and do all these things. Now, we have them so pre-digested that they just go through our system, and our system takes a little bit of energy from it, and then it's all gone. Like Ellen said to me the other day, how can just a little dash of cayenne pepper and a gallon of water that we drink every day, which immediately runs through our system, possibly detoxify our systems? Well, just the teensy-weensiest drop of ink will make a glass black. And that's a lot. Just the teensy-weensiest little bit of adrenaline will make your body spring forth like it's full of energy and ready to go out and fly. And the teensy-weensy little tiny bit of insulin or other necessary substance in the body, if it's there, great. If it's clogged, if that teensy-weensy little bit is clogged from coming out, then our body is tremendously affected. So it's up to us to keep our body in harmonious form. It's up to us to use our body. Now, a bear doesn't use his body so tremendously, but he's got tremendous strength. Now, where does he get that strength? Does he do weightlifting? You know, does he eat energetic foods? Does he eat this steroid stuff and what have you to build? No. It's just his nature, and he keeps it. And a bear, which hibernates, eats a great deal before he goes to bed for his long winter's nap, or she, and while she is napping, she gives birth to her cubs, and the cubs drink the milk of the mother, which is not being replenished every day except by the fat substance within the body. And when spring comes, the little cubs are just little roly-poly guys, very fat, and the mother is very thin, but very happy. You see, there's a natural sequence of things that go on within the human body. We have the capacity to do magical things and wonderful things, but we don't do it because we want to have it according to the way the world looks at it. When I had some young friends come up a while ago, and they looked around the property and they said, "Oh, this is gorgeous." And they were looking at the burned over area of the BLM land next to ours, where the old burned up sticks of bushes and branches were standing. And for us who are living here, we think, "Oh, wouldn't it be nice to get rid of those sticks and bushes and that burned up skeletons hanging around there?" And this person said, "No, that's beautiful. That is nature fulfilling its activities very beautifully. How wonderful." And that's just what it was. Nature had decided one day to do a dance. And in doing its dance, it said, "I am going to dance from mountaintop to mountaintop." And so a little fire that took place over in Tierra del Sol and Boulevard, the first dance took place, and the fire danced into the sky and landed on another mountaintop. Then it went up and landed on another mountaintop. Then it finally came over and landed on our neighborhood here. And how could such things happen? Why did it choose to come here and clean up the neighborhood around our property so that for 30 years we wouldn't have to be concerned about fire? Interesting, huh? Nothing happens by chance. Some people might think that it's meant for evil, but it's really meant for our total good. And that's why it's very important for us to see beauty in everything that we see around us, in everything that we are, in everything that we do. And if we don't see beauty, then what we're doing is we are so mutating ourselves to the idea that the perfect being is a Nordic, what do you say, the German Nazi being.
Aryan.
There you go. The Aryan being. Right. The Aryan German, you know, with the blonde hair and 6 foot and well built and the beautiful girls, blonde haired. I don't know if they're 6 foot, but they're well built too. And that is the ultimate. And anyone who's not that, you just haven't got it. Well, just imagine the blacks. They don't have any of those features. Some of them do, but not mostly. And what about the Chinese? They don't have it. What about the Koreans and the Polynesians, the Hawaiians? My goodness, the Hawaiians don't have that. And what about the South Americans? What about the Americans? What about the thousands and millions and billions of Americans that we have here? Do they have all of the Aryan outlook? No. It's very much in the minority. And it's perhaps a pleasant-looking person. But when you watch the movies these days, watch and see how many Aryan people are playing the lead roles. Very seldom. Very seldom. The people who play the lead roles are people who are tremendous actors. They have charm and imagination. And you say, "I wonder what they look like. I really didn't notice. I was just into their charisma. Did they have black hair or brown hair or white hair or brown hair, blonde, or what was it? I didn't notice." And we were watching that movie the other night. What was the name of it? Pajama Game. And in the Pajama Game, there was one young man who kept popping up and popping up and popping up. He wasn't necessarily good or bad. He just kept popping up because he had red hair. And everywhere you look, you see this red-haired guy. And all the other guys were just as popular there and just as populous there as he, but his red hair made him stand out. Now, a person who's got a handicap like that has got to be good, because he's going to be seen and noticed. The rest of the people around him, they're looked at as a group, and you don't think a thing about them. But that person with their red hair, and they're standing out like a sore thumb, better stand out like a beautiful, beautiful dancer, as they were. And he was good. But you see, this is what happens when we solidify ourselves too much in one direction. Plants like to be taken care of. Plants are beautiful. We make house plants. We have outside plants too. Ellen had the garden cleared up in front of the embassy window here, and before it was cleared up, it looked like everything was dead in there. And after she cleared it up, it looked like, hey, life is there. It'll come back now, because all of the brush and weeds and other things were taken away. Now, that's beautiful. But who says it's beautiful? In nature, where there's no one to give it a helping hand, the beautiful roses grow, the beautiful orchids grow, the beautiful flowers grow. Have you ever been to a Brazilian jungle? You go to Brazil sometime in the Brazilian jungle along the Amazon, and you will have a real treat for yourself. You will see forests of orchids growing right down to the river and right up the hills. Forests of orchids, these gentle, sensitive, and they're not gentle and sensitive there. There, they're aggressive tigers. They grow so rapidly and so completely, they kill off anything that grows around it. They won't let anything else get in its way. Whereas in our greenhouses, an orchid has to be handled very gently, very carefully, because it's very, very sensitive. That's because we've taken away its aggressiveness that it had naturally in the jungle. So perhaps from now on, we won't need any soap anymore. And perhaps from now on, we won't need any body lotion anymore. Perhaps from now on, we won't need any dentist work any longer, because we'll chew our food so well, we'll have the best teeth in town, and so on. Now, I say to you, with our thought for today, trim the trees, something like that. Trim the edges. And trimming the edges of the plants to trim off the dry part and so on, that's fine. But it's something that you'll have to do again and again and again, because you're training the plant to have dry edges. Now, if you go up to the plant and you say, plant, you have beautiful, slender, glorious green leaves. Every leaf is whole and perfect. All your leaves are marvelous. But I haven't time to do that. You haven't time not to do that. You have time to go and trim the edges and trim. Take that time that you're trimming the edges and see the plants with beautiful leaves. And whenever you look over at the plant, say, oh boy, you're a beautiful plant. You got glorious leaves. And look around at the rest of them. Hey, you're great. How come some plants grow so well? Because you expect them to. You expect them to. The philodendron, they grow like crazy because you expect them to. And other plants grow like crazy because you expect them to. So instead of trimming the leaves, start putting the cause in motion that the plant leaves are glorious and beautiful and green. All of them, in all the plants. And start doing that with yourself. Start realizing that you are perfect just the way you are. And you don't need a bath. You don't need weightlifting. You don't need special foods. You will be a perfect, harmonious example of a beautiful being. Just like the polar bear, just like the cultures around the world, they don't have all the things we have, and the people are quite nice. Oh yes, their death rate for children born is quite high, but that's just because they're not practicing the sanitation they could. But that's okay. Maybe that's the way they want it. If they didn't want it that way, they would follow whatever path in them tells them to follow differently. So decide what you're going to do now. You're going to trim the leaves, or are you going to see them whole and perfect? The choice is up to you and nobody else. I love you.